to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Vicar for Clergy, Father Raju Thattankara. Good morning, Father Raju. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. Thank you. I'm good.
Good to see you this morning. We appreciate you taking time from your very busy schedule to join us this morning for Our Shepherd's View. Our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew. So, Father, if you would now proclaim that for us.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. After he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A very familiar sounding gospel from Matthew, the Beatitudes. And Father, of course, these offer us so many key elements, so many ways to deepen our faith and to embrace the blessings that God has for us. And I think having you here today is very appropriate as the role that you play in our diocese, the service and offering the direction to our clergy. And these are the tenets, these are the basics of what we all should put forth every day. And if you would now maybe take time to explain each of these in your own way, Father. Let's hear some of your reflections on this.
Thank you, Jose. So when Jesus goes up the mountain, and when he begins to teach, he's not giving us a list of religious slogans or spiritual poetry meant only for the saints in stained-glassed windows. He's teaching ordinary people, fishermen, mothers, workers, the poor, people like us. The Beatitudes are not about how to look holy, but about how to live holy in everyday life. So let me go with the first one.
Okay.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. What does Jesus mean by this? Now, remember, Jesse, Jesus is not praising material poverty. Poor in spirit means recognizing that everything we have, our life, our faith, our talents, our forgiveness, comes from God. It is an inner attitude of humility, dependence on God, awareness of our need for Him. Now, someone may ask, does this mean God wants us to be poor or weak? Not at all. God does not glorify misery. He invites us to be free from pride, arrogance, and self-sufficiency. A person can be wealthy yet poor in spirit. And another can be materially poor, but spiritually proud. So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such people. The best example I can think of is, a full cup cannot be filled again, but an empty cup can. The poor in spirit make room for God's grace. Let me give you another example. A child who holds his father's hand crossing a busy road is poor in spirit. He knows he cannot manage alone. The trust is strength, not weakness for him. So how can we live this beatitude today? By praying daily, Lord, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
By admitting our mistakes instead of justifying them. By being teachable, open to correction. By relying on God in suffering rather than complaining or becoming bitter. Now, there is a danger of not being poor in spirit, and that is a spiritual pride. So when we say, I don't need God, I can manage on my own, we close the door of our hearts. So the good news in this beatitude is, the kingdom of heaven is not earned by power, success, or perfection, but received by humility and trust.
In terms of that, maybe some other way people have heard this beatitude expressed is when you empty yourself.
Right.
And like you said, that beautiful image of the cup, when you empty yourself, you open yourself to blessings and God's grace.
That's very correct, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to the second beatitude.
Okay.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does Jesus mean by those who mourn? Jesus is speaking not only about people who grieve the death of their loved ones, but all who carry pain in their hearts. Sorrow, loss of the loved ones, disappointments, sin, injustice, or broken relationships. Why would Jesus call mourners blessed? Because their hearts are open. Those who mourn have not become hard or indifferent. Their tears show they still love, care, and hope. God is especially close to such hearts. So someone can ask, does this mean Christians should be sad all the time? Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is not about loving sadness. It teaches not to run away from pain and not to pretend everything is fine when it is not. Jesus meets us in our sorrow, not after it disappears. So, in this beatitude, Jesus offers his presence, his healing, his peace, and the hope of eternal life.
In a sense, our brokenness, as you said, he steps in and fills those empty spaces, as you said, with tears and a broken heart. His spirit meets us for healing and fills those spaces.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful, comforting way, and so easily misunderstood because of the word mourning. But
right.
I love the way you explain that, Father. Thank
right.
you. And our next one, our next beatitude.
The third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Meek. What does Jesus mean by meek? Meekness is often misunderstood. It does not mean weak, timid, or passive. Meekness means strength under control, the ability to respond with patience, humility, gentleness, rather than anger or revenge. Why does Jesus praise meekness in a very competitive world? Because the world teaches us to push, shout, dominate. But Jesus teaches us to trust God instead of forcing our way. Meek people know when to speak, when to stay silent, and when to leave things in God's hands. So, what does it mean that the meek will inherit the earth? It means they will receive lasting blessings. The aggressive may grab, quickly, but the meek receive peacefully. What God gives cannot be taken away. I'll tell you this story. A man once said, I'm working very hard on my patience, but people keep testing me. That is exactly the point.
Right.
Meekness is not about having no anger. It is about choosing not to let anger control us.
I think also that beatitude points the way for us to be more aware of God's will in our lives, mm-hmm. as we sort of get out of our own way and allow Him to sort of speak to us with a clear mind. And as you said, we're not turning our backs on our emotions, because anger is very real for people, those emotions that we have, but also understanding that we want to maybe offer our emotional life to God according to His will, not ours. Mm-hmm. And that opens us up to maybe seeing this beatitude a bit more clearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you explained that word meek, because I think that's a very misunderstood word. Mm-hmm. People think it's someone who's shy and timid, but really more along the lines of someone who's walking in God's light and His path according to His will and serving when he can. That doesn't mean that they won't make mistakes, because we will.
Right.
But coming back to this beatitude and understanding how we fit into that role will give us the knowledge to continue to move forward and to find strength in God's will for our lives.
That's true. The fourth beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hunger and thirst. Jesus uses the strongest human desires, hunger and thirst, to describe a deep longing of the soul. This is not a casual wish for goodness, but an intense desire to live according to God's will. So what is righteousness in simple terms? Righteousness means right relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. It is living truthfully, justly, and lovingly, even when it is difficult. Why does Jesus say we must hunger and thirst for it? Because righteousness cannot be an afterthought. Just as we cannot live without food and water, we cannot grow spiritually without actively seeking what is right. So let me explain it with this example. A man said, Father, I pray every day for holiness. And the priest replied, and do you work for it? And the man smiled and said, no, I was hoping God would do it while I sleep. Holiness does not come by accident. You must want it badly enough to work for it. So what does this hunger look like in daily life? Choosing honesty when lying is easier. Forgiving when resentment feels justified. Standing for justice even when it costs us something. We must remember this beatitude is not about perfection. It is about direction. The world teaches us to hunger for success, power, and comfort. Jesus teaches us to hunger for what is right. He promises such hearts will never remain empty.
And that is where we gain the spiritual food, if you will. So we are no longer hungry spiritually through that. That's a beautiful explanation, Father. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Father Raju Thattankara, and we will take a short break as Our Shepherd's View continues. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Raju Thattankara, who is talking to us today on this fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time about the Beatitudes. And such beautiful explanations you gave us in the first part of our program, Father. This is, of course, from Matthew's Gospel today. And now you'll speak to us about the remaining four Beatitudes that are described in this Gospel.
Okay, Jesse. The fifth Beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy means love in action towards someone who does not deserve it. It's compassion shown through forgiveness, patience, kindness, and understanding. Jesus connects mercy with blessing. Because mercy reflects the very heart of God. As Jesus says elsewhere in the scripture, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, mercy is not the same as being weak or allowing injustice. Mercy does not ignore truth or excuse wrongdoing. Mercy chooses love over revenge, healing over hatred, while still respecting justice. A woman once prayed, "Lord, help me forgive others the way you forgive me." Then she added quickly, "But please don't remind them how often I mess up."
Very relatable.
So, mercy is easy to ask for, but difficult to give, until we remember how much we ourselves receive. So, how do we practice mercy in everyday life? Forgiving those who hurt us, being patient with the difficult people, giving someone a second chance, helping the needy without judging. What happens when we refuse to be merciful? Our hearts become hard. We carry bitterness, resentment, the inner unrest. Mercy frees both the giver and the receiver.
I think that's a very key aspect of that beatitude, because a lot of times people carry this in their hearts and it begins to affect other things. Mm-hmm. It begins to affect, obviously, not only their relationships, but I've even read about people that affects their health, that affects just having that holding on to that resentment and that anger, but letting go. And I think another word that you said in that description that struck me was respect. Mm-hmm. Having the respect not only for the people around you, but also respect for yourself, respect for God's will in your life. And that makes it something that once we look at it through that perspective, we can embrace that beatitude wholeheartedly.
Correct.
That's correct. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that. What is our next one?
The sixth beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. Purity of heart means having an undivided heart, a heart focused on God, free from double motives, hypocrisy, and hidden agendas. Mm-hmm. It is not just about outward behavior, but inner sincerity. So purity of heart also means honesty, transparency, integrity, and simplicity of intention. You see, I want you to notice this. Jesus says, the pure in heart will see God. Why? Because sin, pride, and selfishness cloud our spiritual vision. A clean heart sees clearly. A child once said, "God, please help me be good, but not too good, because my friends might stop playing with me." Purity of heart is not about impressing others, but about praising God.
That's beautiful. And of course, that whole idea of clarity, of that idea of sort of clearing your own spiritual deck, if you will, to sort of be able to see things more along the lines of what God sees. That's a beautiful explanation, Father. Thank you for that. What is our following beatitude here?
The seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Peacemakers. A peacemaker is not someone who avoids conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who actively works to bring reconciliation, healing, and unity. Peace does not happen automatically. It must be made. Is peace simply the absence of conflict? Not at all. Mm-hmm. True peace is right relationship with God, with others, and within ourselves. So sometimes peace requires difficult conversations, forgiveness, and courage. So Jesus calls peacemakers children of God. Why? Because God is the source of peace. When we work for peace, we resemble our Heavenly Father, who constantly seeks to reconcile humanity to Himself. So I want you to look at this story, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
A couple once came to a priest and said, "Father, we never argue." The priest smiled and replied, "Then one of you is not speaking honestly." Peace is not silence. It is truth spoken with love.
I think also, too, that is another invitation for us to do the work, as I think you so beautifully illustrated there. Peace is not when just things are, you know, status quo. We're called to use our gifts, whether it be gifts of communication, gifts of charity, gifts of empathy, for people to work to create that peace. I think that challenges us every day to confront those situations and make them right in through the eyes of God, through His grace, as opposed to just being quiet, saying, "Well, nobody yelled at anyone today." That doesn't necessarily mean that things are peaceful. So that's a very beautiful explanation, Father. And our final beatitude.
The eighth beatitude: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, mm-hmm. for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted. Persecution is not only physical suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It includes being mocked, misunderstood, excluded, criticized, or ridiculed for doing what is right and for standing with Christ. When we live according to God's truth, it sometimes makes others uncomfortable. So does this beatitude mean we should look for trouble? Not at all. Christians are not called to provoke or argue unnecessarily. But when faithfulness to Christ brings opposition, we are not to be afraid. I want you to look at this story, Jesse.
Okay.
A young man once said, "Father, I want to be a Christian, but quietly I want to be." The priest replied, "That is difficult, because even a small candle cannot hide its light. Faith lived sincerely will always be noticed." So as Christians, we face many kinds of persecution. Being laughed at for our moral values, being pressured to compromise faith, being labeled old-fashioned or intolerant, being excluded for choosing honesty and integrity. But Jesus calls the persecuted the blessed, because their suffering is not meaningless. It unites them with Christ, who Himself was rejected, mocked, crucified for truth and love. So Jesus promises to the persecuted the kingdom of heaven, the same promise as of the first beatitude. So we should respond to persecution with patience, not with bitterness, with prayer, not with revenge, with courage, not with fear. So the good news of this beatitude is, no suffering for Christ is ever wasted. The world may reject the faithful, but heaven receives them happily.
Beautiful words there, Father. I love the way how you connected this last beatitude to the first, and I think that this is something that we can all take with us into our week. Of course, reflecting on today's Gospel from Matthew on this fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Father Raju, we thank you for your time today on Our Shepherd's View. If you would now close with a prayer and a blessing.
Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten our hearts. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your continued blessings that you shower upon each one of us, Lord. Be with us in all our undertakings. Continue to guide us and protect us. Keep us away from all kinds of danger and evil. We ask your special blessings upon Bishop Mario Aviles, that he will be continued to be protected by your divine protection and guidance. Be with us, Lord. Walk with us. Empower us. Enlighten us. Bless our diocese. Bless all those who work for your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.